From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome to the show. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. It's Wednesday night. It's 7:06, 17, 18, 19. I could just do that for the entire show. It'd be pretty boring, but that's the time. Thank you guys so much for hanging out. We have a great show tonight. We have a lot of audio to play, a lot of laughs, a lot of fun memories. It's going to be a good time, guys. So hang on. It's going to be fun.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not. It
gets the people going.
Gets them going. Speaking of provocative, I have a question for you guys. I saw something on my way driving in, and I wasn't sure if I was even allowed to talk about this. Are we allowed to talk about homeless issues, Matt?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I mean, this is not like one that like is going to elevate homeless. This is not a judgy statement. I'm not saying this is a judgy statement. I'm just saying I witnessed something on the way in that made me question whether or not this person was legit homeless. So I'm driving in. I take the exit. I drive from up north. I live up in Snohomish County. And because there was really bad traffic heading into town, I get off on 45th, you know, which is like right by, if you can turn right there and go to Dick's, or you can go left and go to UW. So I get off on 45th and I'm stuck there at the light for a few minutes. And I look over to my left and there's a homeless person. I assume they're homeless. They're holding a sign that says something. It's a long sign, so I don't have time to read it all. Because I'm distracted. The reason I'm not reading the signs is because I'm distracted. Number one, they're dressed far better than I am. And I'm just like, all right, well, that's interesting. And I'm not saying there has to be like a certain like look to get me to reach into my pocket to give somebody money. And occasionally I will. Like, I don't like people doing drugs and taking up the medians on freeways and things. But from time to time, if my heart feels moved, if I see somebody out there, I know that people fall on hard times. And if I have money on me, sometimes I will give that money. If I feel moved, like if I feel like the Lord is moving my heart to give this person money, I'll toss them a few bucks because it's not going to make a big deal to me, but maybe it makes a big deal to them. I'm not saying I'm a saint, whatever. If somebody wants to call me a saint, that's fine. I'm not going to say it about myself. But anyway, this person today, number one, they're dressed really, really well. Number two, they have a really long sign. They're asking too much of me if I'm going to be giving them money. Don't ask me to read that much. And then number three, I can see that behind the sign, they're not making eye contact with anybody. Behind the sign, they're just on their phone. And so they're like, I mean, I know what clothes cost. I buy clothes for myself and my entire family. Like, I know how much, so this person is spending a good amount of money on clothes, and or they're getting them for free. I suppose it's a possibility too. But then they're also like looking on their phone and they're playing on their phone. And I'm kind of looking up like, all right, at what point does this person get back to, you know, asking me for money, I guess. And they never did. They're just on their phone the entire time. And I was like, this is a weird, different kind of a thing. So I don't know. I feel like I saw through kind of a false, something false there. And I don't think they were actually homeless. I think they were, maybe this was a business for them. I don't know what it was. But when I see somebody cruising around on their phone, if they're on the side of the street or if they're working at anywhere, I don't like people being on their phone in front of me. I find it offensive. I just don't like people being on their phone. Do you guys feel the same way? I guess that's my long-winded question. Does it annoy you when you're in the room with somebody and they're on their phone? That was a long way to get there, but whatever. All right, let's see here. If you guys want to chime in or if you have any comments or you just want to be part of the conversation, we do have a text line for that. We can talk the entire show. It's a lot of fun. It's my way of staying connected to you. 888-973-5476. Feel free to text me there if you'd like to. This is the part of the show where I play a trivia clip, and I'm not going to tell you what it's from. You'll probably recognize some of the voices. These guys are very famous, or you might not. And you can take a guess on the text line, or you can listen in the start of the next hour of the news roundup. I will just give you the answer. But this is one of my favorite movies. These guys, I'll give you some clues. These actors are amazing. This is one of my favorite movies. It's hilarious. They make a bunch of these movies together. They're like an ensemble. They make more than one movie. They play different characters every time. It's very, very funny. I hope you enjoy the clip as much as I did, and I hope you get this right. Because if you get this right on the text line, you don't win anything, but you do win my friendship. That's worth something.
Later on, we were kind of moved down the food chain a bit to the Folk Tone label, which was a subsidiary.
It was a decent label. They just didn't have the distribution.
Well, they just didn't have, they didn't have any distribution.
No distribution at all.
And the covers were printed in two colors instead of four, mm-hmm. which I noticed was a...
Yeah. And they had no hole in the center of the record. So a lot
no,
of
No, you'd have to provide
the,
it the yourself.
The people complain that you'd get this vinyl, of course, in those days, and it's kind of up to you to kind of center it and make mm-hmm. the actual...
It would teeter crazily on the little spindle until
the hole, and that was a whole... That, well, of course, we had no control over that aspect of it, but...
But they were still good records. They were good, they were good product.
Yeah, if you punched a hole in them, you'd have a good time.
Yeah.
I love that. If you punched a hole in it, you'd have a great time. Then you could play the record. All right, so that's your guess, or that's your clip. Take a guess on the text line. 888-973-5476. All right, let's get into some news. These are just stories that kind of catch my eye. These are Jake news stories. This one's actually insane, and I'm interested in talking about this one because we're actually going to talk to this guy in just a little bit. We're going to get him on the show. We talked about this yesterday. Did you remember that Shoreline gas station that was broken into on Friday last week? 5 a.m. in the morning, some burglars pull up in a U-Haul in front of this Shell gas station in Shoreline, and it's pretty planned out. And you can tell it's planned out because there is CCTV footage. There's security camera, all this different stuff. I think that means, right? Closed circuit television. Is it just security cam? There's security cam footage of these guys. The shop owner obviously wants to make sure that his business stays secure. So just like the rest of us who have porch cameras, this guy has cameras all along the outside and inside of his Shell gas station. So he gets an alert, this gentleman, who we're not going to name because he would rather not be identified. Because, you know, enough has happened to him. He just would rather, you know, remain anonymous, which is great. So the owner of the Shell station, he's laying in bed. It's 5 a.m. in the morning, and he gets an alert on his phone. And he looks up at his phone, and there's a little thing that says, we've got some camera movement, and just the same kind of thing you get on your front porch every time somebody delivers a package. He looks at the video, and he sees that there is a guy hiding behind a U-Haul. He's being shielded from the rest of the world by a U-Haul, which is now pulled up and is parked directly in front of the front door of this Shell station. He pulls out what looks like a construction-grade saw. It's electric. They don't have to plug into anything. They make these great electric saws now. You can check them out at Home Depot. But he has this great electric saw, and he starts cutting into the door, into the lock. That's like really strong lock. So clearly they had already like checked out this lock to see what they needed to get into it. So he does this for a couple minutes, and as he's doing this, the gentleman we're going to speak to in a few minutes, the owner of the shop, he gets on the phone with 911. He calls them up, and he says, hey, 911, I just want to tell you, there are people breaking into my shop. He gives them the address in Shoreline, and he is assured that police are en route. So he and his wife are now on 911. They're watching these guys for minutes, like many, many minutes. It takes them almost 4 minutes, I think, 3-4 minutes just to get in the front door. It's in a busy city like Shoreline, so I wouldn't imagine that police officers would be that far away. It's 5 a.m. in the morning, so it's not like there's no cops around. His wife is now watching on her phone on the video camera that she has access to. He's describing all this to 911, and as this is happening, the guys make it a little further down the road into getting into the shop. The saw's not working completely, so then they pull out at like a... You can watch these videos. I'll post these onto the Facebook page in just a few minutes. You can check them out there. Kyra Knight's Facebook page. They then take out like a 6-foot crowbar. Clearly, they had pre-planned this, like a Bad Ocean's 13 or something. They take out a 6-foot crowbar, and they start cranking on this door. And then when that doesn't work, they have a thick set of like tow chains, which they then hook up to the door. They've pre-tied it to the front of the, pre-hooked it up to the front of the U-Haul, I think on the bumper somewhere, onto the big hook up there. If you've ever rented a U-Haul, you see there's like these big hooks on the front. They hook it up to that and then rip the doors off. Just like tears the front door wide open. They're watching all this. The owner of the shop is watching all this on his security cam footage in like high definition, relaying all this to 911. The burglar then gets in. There's one in the driver's seat kind of waiting and watching. He's the getaway man. He's kind of giving some updates to the guy in the shop, apparently, the burglar in the shop, who's just grabbing everything in sight on these videos. And you can see these on these videos. He's grabbing, like, looks like he grabs some cigarette stuff or whatever's valuable. He likes some iPhone chargers and, I don't know, whatever they have in a Shell gas station. And then the burglar at some point realizes that, all right, time's running kind of short. I've been in here quite a while. I better get going. So he runs back out front, jumps in the passenger seat of the U-Haul. As he's sitting there in the passenger seat, you are now starting to see police lights reflecting off of the front of the building and on the truck. And you're kind of going, all right, we're about to watch these guys get arrested. This is going to be great. But that's not what happens. The U-Haul just takes off, and then the police officers pull up and just walk up to the front of the shop, and they don't pursue them. And you're sitting there watching this video. You're like, why are they not pursuing these guys? You can still see them in the video footage. Why are they not pursuing them? Literally, the police lights, red and green, I'm sorry, yeah, red and blue are bouncing off of the U-Haul. You can still see them. So they're very close. And the last time I checked, a police cruiser is a little bit faster than a giant U-Haul truck. But they don't do anything. They can't get these guys because we have laws against that in our state from pursuing bad guys, even though you have just come upon them breaking into a Shell gas station. The owner talked to Q13. I actually got this guy's contact, David Rose. He's a good buddy. He's over there on Q13. He sent me this guy's number. He goes, you got to call this guy. He's got an amazing story. People need to hear this story. So we're going to talk to him just a little bit here. But here's just a quick clip of him on Q13 describing just how he's feeling right now.
To me, police is not doing their own job. You know, I was really, really frustrated that time. And I told the police officer, I mean, you guys need to step up. Otherwise, we feel very unsafe. My employees feel unsafe. We live in Shoreline for 35 years, city of Shoreline. We have never seen these kind of problems, what we're seeing for last year or over a year. My wife feel unsafe. We don't let our kids come outside because we feel unsafe.
This story really hit home with me. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I care about my family. I want to take care of my family. I want to make sure they feel safe. I'm listening to this guy talk about, you know, living in Shoreline for 35 years. And I've seen how the city has transformed, and I've seen how it's changed a lot. We've had some amazing things happen in the big cities. I no longer live in Seattle, but I used to call Seattle home for, you know, more than a decade. A lot of money has come into Seattle, but there is also a lot of things about the city now that is undesirable. You have police who can't pursue bad guys. And so bad guys, I think, feel maybe a little bit empowered to do this kind of stuff. This is the second time the shop owner has had his shop broken into, which must be just so demoralizing as somebody who's just trying to, like, raise your family, protect them, keep them safe, make sure that everybody has enough food to eat. Like, those are all hard things to do. And I don't imagine that you're just raking in the money owning a Shell gas station. I'm sure he does fine. He probably works really hard. But is this guy like a multimillionaire who can just like write off when he has $30,000 worth of damage when somebody breaks into his shop that like is coming out of his pocket? No, that sucks. I feel super bad for him. So we're going to talk to him next. I would love to find out what's going to happen now. I would also love to find out what the cops told him, because at some point he got to his shop as fast as he could and the police were there. I would love to find out what the police told him. Like, why didn't pursue these guys? These guys had just ripped him off, stole a bunch of stuff, cost thousands of dollars worth of damage. That's something I would want to know for sure. So we're going to ask him. All right, so stick around for that. Next, let's move on to something else real fast. I know everybody's been talking about this, but it's a ridiculous story. I wasn't even aware of this until 5 minutes ago, but it's a ridiculous story. You can now name an apple. Your dreams have come true. You can name an apple in Washington State.
How about no? Okay.
Wouldn't that be fun to name an apple? No, it would not. All right, listen to this headline from Como. Have a bite in naming Washington's new apple. It's juicy. It's pink. It's your move. This is from Como. Washington State University wants the public's help to choose a trademark name for an apple. Washington 64, I guess that's what they're calling it right now, is a pink blushed apple with outstanding eating quality, being both firm and tasty. I don't know. There's something about the description that I like about this. Matt, do you like apples?
I do. I love apples.
Would you be interested in naming an apple? Would you have any interest in that?
If I could think of a good enough name that was really clever, maybe.
Could you distinguish between one apple? So I know they have, like, they've just mentioned Pink Lady here, yeah, or Pink Blushed Apple, which reminds me of a Pink Lady. But like, they have that. They have a Gala. I know there's a green apple that's Granny Smith.
Yep.
Would you, like, could you really pick, like, if somebody did a blind taste test for you, could you pick apart an apple?
Yeah, because there's definite texture and flavor difference.
Oh, you could.
I could tell, yeah.
You're an apple
absolutely
connoisseur.
A little
all right
bit.
Matt loves his apples.
Do you like apples?
Yeah.
Well, I got a number. How do you like them apples?
How do you like them apples? All right, so you can actually, if you're interested, if this is something that sounds appealing to you, you very good. I don't even mean to. Yeah, pun intended. Let's see here. The apple released from Washington State University originated from a cross between Honeycrisp and Pink Lady, which was made in 1998. I didn't realize that. That's a very recent apple. Sensory and instrumental evaluations of crispness, juiciness, and hardness show the exceptional eating characteristics of Washington 64, WSU said. I just think it's interesting how they categorize these things and how much they care about it. If you're interested in this, if this like tickles your fancy, you can submit your suggestions for the name on a form through Washington State. Officials say one entry per person, and you must be 18 or older to participate. I don't know why you would need to be 18 unless they're going to send you like a nudie picture back. Entries will be accepted until May 5th, 2024. To submit your entry, head to the Washington State University survey. For anybody out there who wants to name an apple, good luck. I hope you are successful. And if you do successfully name the apple, then, just remember your old friend here on Cairo Nights. All right, we got a lot of great stuff coming up. It's going to be a wonderful show tonight. Stick around for it. Matt, what do we got?
All right, coming up on tonight's edition of Cairo Nights, we'll talk with that owner of that recently robbed Shoreline gas station. Also, we'll find out what's changing in a new Gen Z version of Scrabble. And a rousing roundtable discussion we call the News Roundup. That's all yours tonight on Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
All right, welcome back to Cairo Nights. I have a guest on with me right now. He is the Shell station owner. His shop was broken into at the end of last week by those burglars. Police arrived on the scene. The burglars ran off, and the police did not pursue them because we have crazy rules here in our state. Joining me now is the Shell station owner. He asked not to be identified, but he's on with us now. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
So this happened, this incident, as I understand it, this happened on Friday morning around 5 a.m., is that right?
That's correct. Friday in the morning, 5 a.m.
So how did you first become aware that people were breaking into your shop?
Well, when they started breaking the lock in front of my store, I got the alarm notification on my phone. And right away when I see the alarm notification, I turned on my cameras right away and saw somebody breaking outside. He wasn't inside that time. He was cutting the lock in front of my door. And as soon as I saw him, I called 911 right away. And my wife woke up and she turned on her camera on her phone. And while I was talking to the 911 call, we were watching what he was doing. And I explained every single thing. You know, he's cutting the lock. He's trying to get inside the store. He's trying to break, you know, with the pry bar. He had like a 5-foot pry bar. He was trying to break the door with it.
You know, obviously it looked like this was, you know, he didn't just walk by your shop and decide to rob it. It looked like it was a planned out thing. Number one, he had the U-Haul. Basically what they figured out was if somebody drives by this gas station in the morning and they see somebody breaking in the door, that'd be a bad deal. So they get this big U-Haul truck, which kind of acts as a shield. You cannot see him breaking into the store from the road because it's totally blocked by this big giant U-Haul truck. He also brings, it looks like he has like a professional grade saw that he uses to cut open
I was
the
surprised.
Door.
When he can get off his truck, he already had a saw in his hand. That's why we were watching again and again the video. So he already knew he had to cut the lock, which the lock is, you know, it's pretty good lock actually, but his saw was amazing. When I saw that, he cut the lock within less than a minute. So he was all prepared.
He was totally prepared. It was almost like I don't mean to make jokes about it, but it seemed like a low-level Ocean's 13 attempt, you know? Like they had this all planned out. And then he gets that crowbar that you mentioned, which is like, you know, 5-6 feet long. He's using it for leverage, trying to get the door open. That doesn't even work. And so he finally connects. What does he do? He connects chains to his truck. Is that right?
He had a chain, you know, so that's why I was surprised. Another thing, he already has a chain with the hook in the front. And he hooked up the chain to my front door and hooked up the chain to other side in the U-Haul somewhere. And he just broke the door. Then he went inside after that and started grabbing all the product, cigarette, vape product, and charger, whatever he could actually grab.
And as he's breaking in, again, you're watching all this live because you have the cameras on your phone. And
it's heartbreaking. It is heartbreaking for me and my wife. We had a robbery before, but this was heartbreaking. When he was doing everything, we saw everything live, and I was explaining every single thing to the 911 call. And I was telling them to tell the police that be there. You know, he's still there. You know, you guys have to be there, catch him. And when I see the end of the video, there were two guys. One was inside the U-Haul on sitting on the driver's seat, and one was inside. When the guy saw the police car, actually, and he notified his partner that, okay, police is here, we gotta go. So he started like running a little faster. But the police was right behind the U-Haul when
right
he
behind.
Jumped inside the,
yeah,
right behind. We saw the police lights, you know, behind it, but police did not chase him.
When you're sitting at home, and you must be thinking to yourself, all right, well, I got on 911 immediately. These guys are going to get caught. The police are going to roll up any second. They're going to catch these guys.
Well, that was my expectation. We did not even waste a single second. But the frustrating part for me was, even though I done everything I could, you know, call 911, you know, told every single thing, identify who this guy looks like, and there's a U-Haul and every single thing. And the police was there. In the parking lot. He was in the parking lot and the police car was in the parking lot, but they did not catch him.
Were the police watching as they exited the building?
They did watch exiting the building because they have the way my store is, police come from the north side and my store, they have to make kind of U-turn.
Okay.
So right on the light, when they were making a U-turn, they could see on the left-hand side, there's a U-Haul and the U-Haul is still there. So when the police car approached right in my parking lot, the U-Haul left that time.
In the video, you can see all the police lights reflecting off the U-Haul. Obviously, the U-Haul guys are aware that the cops are there because they jump in the truck and race off as fast as they can. Are you still watching at home as the police do not pursue them?
I was watching that at home. And then my wife said, why are they not chasing him? Why are they not catching him? What's going on? That she was just keeps telling me. And I told the 911, catch that guy. He's right there and police is right there. Why are they not chasing him? And then I went to the store after that. They were waiting for me and I told them. I told a lot of things to police.
It must have been the same cops who arrived when the burglars were leaving. So those guys were there. What was their excuse for not pursuing them?
They said there's a lie. We cannot chase him. The one thing he said, when he jumped into his car or truck, whatever it is, that's his house. So we cannot do anything.
That's his house. Those were the words that gave
what
to you.
Said,
that's his house.
That's his house. We are not supposed to go inside. That's what he said. We chase him. I don't know which cop chased him, but he said one of the cops chased him, which I don't know. And he give the light to the U-Haul, and it's up to him if he wants to stop or not. That was his response to me. Why would he stop? You know, he did a crime, and he's not going to stop. You have to stop him forcefully. And do something, scare him. And I even told him, okay, next time when you're going to try to stop me, if I'm over speeding 5 or 10 miles an hour, you try to stop me, I'm not going to stop.
If that's the pursuit law, it's up to the criminal to decide whether or not they're going to be pulled over and arrested. No criminal is ever going to pull over. And you're totally right. If somebody's getting a speeding ticket, why would you stop?
Yeah, that's what I told him. And I asked him, okay, let's see another scenario. If somebody hurt somebody or shot somebody, would you do the same thing? Then he said, oh, that's a different scenario. You know, in that case, we'll chase him and pursue,
Because then they're a danger to other people and it's a public.
Yeah, I believe they could chase him and they could easily caught him. You know, easily they can catch him.
Or block them. Like the U-Haul poured forward. Like why, if they had cops there, why didn't they just park in front of it? If it is his house, park in front of his house so he can't move his house.
It's against the law if you run away from police. That's what we always read in the books, and we always know that if police ask you to stop, we have to stop. Otherwise, it's against the law.
You guys have been in Shoreline for a long time, haven't you?
More than 3 decades in Shoreline. All my kids were born in Shoreline. All they're going to school in Shoreline. We have 70 to 80 people living in Shoreline. All my brothers and cousins and my uncles, we have big family. And right now, we feel unsafe.
I'm so sorry to hear that. I think that's a feeling that a lot of people can share. We've definitely seen as the cities have gotten less safe. You're seeing a lot of people who are just saying, you know what? Forget it. If you're going to leave this up, if this is going to be where criminals can run around free and they don't have to stop for police, why would law-abiding citizens stay here?
Yeah. I mean, criminal knows that. You know, they're going to do more and more crime. It's not going to. If they already know, police was there and he didn't even chase me, he didn't try to catch me. let's do it again every night. They don't have to work.
I am sorry that this happened to you. I hope that, you know, you're going to be able to be made whole. I know this is very expensive every time your shop gets broken into, and I know it's happened a couple of times to you. But I wish you the best for your family, and I hope that you guys are able to keep running the shop. And I hope that you can feel safe again in the town that you obviously love, and you have deep roots there.
I love Shoreline. Like I said, I know I've been here for, you know, very long time, and my kids were born here, and we like to stay in Shoreline. But we need to have the same feeling we had before. We feel safe. You know, we want to, when we go to the store, Fred Meyer, or Safeway, any store, when we go there, we want to feel safe that, you know, nobody's going to outside rob my wife or my daughter. Right now, I tell my daughter or wife, do not go to the store after 7 or 8 o'clock when it's dark. We don't know what's going to happen. So that kind of feeling. We do not need this kind of feeling as a U.S. citizen. We don't want to feel like that this country is not safe. This is a very bad feeling.
Listen, as a husband and a father, I completely understand that feeling. You just want to make sure your family's safe and that you don't have to worry about them. Just simple things like going to the store. I hope things turn around in your neighborhood. I hope that these burglars are caught and they're arrested and they go away to jail for a long time. And I hope that your shop gets back in order. So thank you again so much for coming on and sharing your story with us.
Thank you, Jacob, very much.
All right, have a great night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Man, I hope somebody in Shoreline is listening, and I hope the police are listening, and I hope that they start prioritizing people like this guy and not the criminals. And don't let these criminals get away. That's a bad deal. All right, we have a lot more coming up. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to the show. Thank you guys so much for all the text messages, too. You guys are really quick on those. 888-973-5476. If you ever just want to reach out, have a little conversation off the air, we try our best to get to all the text messages. And we have a lot of weird conversations, too. But that's all right. But we're going to give you the answer to that trivia clip that we played at the start of the show. We're going to play that again. Actually, you know what? Just to be fun, I'm going to play it again right now, just because I know that not everybody has a chance to tune in at the very start of the show. I play a trivia clip every single night at the start of the show, and then I give you the answer at the start of the news roundup. Here is the clip.
Later on, we were kind of moved down the food chain a bit to the Folk Tone label, which was a subsidiary.
It was a decent label. They just didn't have the distribution.
Well, they just didn't have, they didn't have any distribution.
No distribution at all. And the covers were printed in two colors instead of four, which I noticed was a...
Yeah. And they had no hole in the center of the record. So a lot
no,
of the,
you'd have to provide
the,
it yourself.
The people complain that you'd get this vinyl, of course, in those days, and it's kind of up to you to kind of center it and make the actual...
It would teeter crazily on the little spindle until
the hole, and that was a hole. Well, of course, we had no control over that aspect of it, but...
But they were still good records. They were good product.
And if you punched a hole in them, you'd have a good time.
Yeah. All right, so if you think you know the answer to that, 888-973-5476, or in about 10, 15 minutes from now, at the start of the next hour, we will give you the answer to that as well. All right, we just have a couple minutes. Let's talk politics for a few minutes. This is a ridiculous story, but I feel like we need some background music. Doesn't that sound official? All right, Deadline had this story. I found this really interesting. Apparently, all the major news networks, like not all of them, but many of them, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox News, News Nation, CNN, they have all gotten together and they have decided to send a letter. This hasn't been released yet. This hadn't actually been sent yet, but they did leak a copy of this out, which is like, it's just as good as sending it. I don't know why they would leak it. They have leaked a letter out asking for both President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump to commit to debating each other, because it's kind of looking like there's a very good chance that they don't debate, which to you and I seems kind of crazy because the debates are lots of fun. Everybody likes to watch them. The last time that this happened was in 1972. Richard Nixon ran against George McGovern. They did not have to debate. That was the last time, 52 years ago. And Nixon won that election by a huge margin. So McGovern probably should have taken the opportunity to debate him. But now Joe Biden, Donald Trump, they have not committed to a debate yet. Donald Trump has been challenging Joe Biden to debates for the, I mean, every time he gets in front of a microphone, I feel like he's challenging somebody to something. And so I think Donald Trump is on board to debate Joe Biden. I don't know if Joe Biden is on board to debate Donald Trump. A lot of people have questions about how quick he is on his feet. He does a lot of his speaking standing behind a teleprompter, as every president does. I'm not saying that they don't, but Trump particularly likes to scrap it up with people. And, you know, the Biden campaign just hasn't committed yet to knowing if they're going to do that. Here's some of the letter. It says, "We, the undersigned national news organizations, urge the presumptive presidential nominees to publicly commit to participating in general election debates before November's election." It's always a good idea to debate before an election, if you're going to do it. States an as-yet unsent letter that Deadline has seen from NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox News, News Nation, and CNN, which was sent to the Trump and Biden campaigns. The letter continues, "If there is one thing that Americans can agree on during this polarized time, it is that the stakes of this election are exceptionally high. There is simply no substitute for the candidates debating with each other and before the American people their visions for the future of the nation." Interestingly, debates are big business. The Trump-Biden debate back in 2020, the first one, 73 million people watched that debate. And basically, it was just like two old guys kind of yelling at each other, but people liked it.
"I'm not going to answer the question."
"Why
because,
would you answer that
because
question?
The question
you
is,
a lot of
the
new
question
Supreme
is,
Court Justice, the radical question, left.
Will you
who
shut
is
up,
on,
man.
Listen, who is on your list, Joe?
This
Who's
is
on your
so
list?
Right.
Gentlemen,
this is,
I think
this
we've
is
ended
so
this.
Unprecedented.
He's going to pack the court.
We have
no, not going to give a list.
We have ended this segment. We're going to move on to the second segment.
That was really a productive segment, wasn't it? Keep yapping, man.
The people understand, Joe.
They
47
do.
Years you've done nothing. They understand.
Oh. All right.
I would tune in. I want to see it. I don't want to vote for either of those guys, if I'm being completely honest, but I would watch a debate between the two of them, because I don't think it would be super great for either one, which makes good TV. All right, we have a lot coming up. We have the news roundup coming up next. Also next hour, I'm going to play you some very interesting stuff going on with Gen Z. We're not just like harping on Gen Z all the time, but if they invite it, we'll play it. All right, we're going to have that and much more. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.